Continuing with Brichas Kohanim, there were a lot of comments afterwards about the reason we don't duchen in Chutz La'aretz every single day, so maybe we'll add a couple more reasons that are mentioned in the Achronim and the Rishonim as well. In the Rishonim, there's also, someone mentioned that to Shir yesterday, the notion of not duchening unless an individual went to the mikveh that morning, and in Chutz La'aretz it was much colder than Eretz Yisrael, and it was much more difficult for them to go to the mikveh. But as Beis Yosef already points out, it's very hard to understand that such a minhag, which is not mentioned in the Gemara, should override the mitzvah d'oraisa of the duchen every day. So that's also a little bit of a shver explanation. Beis Ephraim, Ephraim Zalman Margolios, offers two possibilities. Number one, he says that nowadays our kohanim are not miyuchas. We don't have 100% guarantee of their lineage to establish them as kohanim. We treat them as kohanim, kohane chazaka for certain dinim, but it's not because there's a vados. So maybe to avoid the possibility of bracha vatala when the kohanim are duchening, so the minhag developed for them not to duchen on a daily basis. Again, there's holes in that argument that you could suggest as well, but it's a suggestion in retrospect to try to understand the minhag. He also quotes from the Pri Chodesh that there is an opinion going back maybe to Rabbi Chanan and earlier, that one should not duchen if his wife is anida. So it could be from that basis, it became more widespread for people not to duchen across the board in Chutz La'aretz. Perhaps maybe because it was not considered a tanua, you know, for this kohen is duchening, this kohen is not duchening. It's not appropriate for private thing about the status of a wife's anida status to be public. We do find that in other areas of halacha. But even though that opinion was never accepted, he does mention it as an interesting explanation. Finally, Chassam Sofer, not exactly like we saw in the Ramah yesterday, notes that Brachas Kohanim is tied to Avodah, as we discussed. That's why the Kohanim begin to ascend the Duchen during Ritzei. And in the Beis HaMikdash, the Duchening took place in conjunction with the Avodah as well. So just like Avoda, in the Beis HaMikdash requires proper machshavos, person has in mind to eat it at the wrong time or the like, that's pigul. Proper kavanah is integral in the performance of the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. So maybe because our Avoda, our tefillah nowadays, which is in place of the Avoda, it's very difficult to have proper kavanah because of parnasa, because of other things that are on our mind that are distracting us. So it would be compromising the duchening, which is also the Brachas Kohanim, which is also representative of the Avoda, if we're doing so without proper kavana. Okay? So those are some of the other reasons that are mentioned. There are others in the Achronim, but ultimately, we hope Mr. Hashem will get back to the show very soon and be able to duchen every single day. Number two, the Ramah records a custom that a Kohen does not duchen during the 12 months of his Avelis. That happens to dovetail very nicely with what the Ramah says about Chutz La'aretz, that we don't duchen in Chutz La'aretz because we don't have the requisite simcha to give the bracha properly, except on Yontif. So the Avel would fall into that category as well, perhaps. Happens to be Rabbi Soloveitchik noted that the practice in Vilna was that a Kohen would say the Brachas Kohanim during Avelis as long as Shloshim had finished, but did not go for the entire year without duchening. Number three, we began to discuss a little bit yesterday the din of Panim Keneged Panim. People were asking about looking at the Kohanim during duchening. So most people are familiar with the fact, one of the reasons for not looking at the Kohanim is because in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so when the Kohanim would lift their hands to Duchen, they would the Shekhinah would come down. So it would not be proper for a person to gaze at the Shekhinah. It could possibly do some damage as well. And therefore, people did not look at the Kohanim. There's other reasons for it also. In the event that a Kohen had some sort of blemish on his fingers, and people got distracted by it, so it would take away their kavana from being mizbarach in the kohanim's bracha. So for various reasons, people do not look at the hands of the kohanim. As far as the first reasons is concerned, for sure, the Shekhinah is not here. We're not in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not the same as it was originally. But moreover, even without that, we do in theory have a practice of not looking at the kohanim zeichel mikdash. But earlier in history, at some point, it became normal for the Kohanim to cover their hands while they're doing the Nesias Kapayim, which covers you on both ends. It covers you as far as the Zeichel HaMikdash for looking at the Kohanim's hands with the Shekhinah, the Beis HaMikdash. It also covers you in terms of any distracting factor that might be on the hands of the Kohanim. So when you put all that together, strictly speaking, there's no reason not to look at the Kohanim during Duchening. Now, Lamaisa, if you've got any shul in the world, pretty much, maybe you can tell me, been somewhere where the practice, otherwise, basically every shul you go to, people do not look at the Kohanim. However, and that's what Rav Shatter argues, if you come here on Yom Narayim or Shalosh Gom, you'll see Rav Shatter is looking right at the Kohanim. Why? Because of this Din Chazal of Panim Keneged Panim, that's supposed to be face-to-face. Ka'adam Ha'omer L'Chaver, the same way that people would have a conversation. So because that's a real Din, so that would override, maybe not Zeich L'Migdash, but would override the simple reason that people don't look, even though there's no basis for it anymore. And as a result, he holds that that should still be the normal practice. Again, it's not common practice, but certainly what he does. I've seen it many times. Okay, number four. While reciting Brachas Kohanim, the Kohanim must raise their hands to at least shoulder height. So basically, they're duchening like this. This is something which many, many Kohanim do not get right, and it's a serious issue because it's possible that the mitzvah is not actually fulfilled whatsoever without the hands being raised up to the proper height. If a kohen just going like this, so it could be to bracha vatala, and it's this could be a din d'oraisa. And as a result, if a person is a kohen, so they should be careful to make sure that they're doing it properly. Number five, very important. Okay, and this is something which has a lot of bearing on us as Levim and Yisraelim who are listening to the bracha. The tzibur has to respond amen at the conclusion of each of the three brachos of Brachas Kohanim, as we know. Okay, so you should not answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo to any of the brachos. Very important to maintain the focus and the kavana. Rav Moshe mentions that. Rav Safraim mentions that. Neither to the shame and the bracha before the three psukim, nor Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo to the shemos in the brachos themselves, the three lines of Brachas Kohanim. Number six. The various lines that are recited in responsive form by the Shliach Tzibor and the Kohanim have to be separate from each other, not overlap. For example, the Kohanim make the bracha. So obviously the people who are listening should not answer amen until all of the Kohanim have finished making the bracha of Yisrael bi'ava. But even after each individual line, when they say Yivarach Hashem Yishmaracha, the tzibur should make sure not to answer amen until every one of the Kohanim have completed the word v'yishmaracha. Number one. Number two, the Shliach Tzibur should not begin the next pasuk of Yo'er until every member of the tzibur has finished saying amen. And finally, the Kohanim, whenever they're called upon by the Shliach Tzibur to say a word, like Yo'er, should make sure that they do not repeat that word until the Shliach Tzibur has finished saying the word entirely, so that there is a distinct break, even for a split second, but there's a distinct break between the Kohanim speaking, the Tzibur answering, the Shliach Tzibur speaking, and the Kohanim responding, and so forth. Okay? Now, as some people brought up yesterday, there are different minhagim about reciting certain psukim during the words of the Brachas Kohanim. If one has this practice, it's not agreed upon by all, but if you have that minhag, so it is important that you say those psukim dafka while either the Shliach Tzibor is saying his word or the Kohanim are saying the nigun. But you should not say any psukim or anything while the Kohanim themselves are enunciating the words of the bracha. As we said, that's a point where the Tzibor should be listening and not doing anything else that prevents them from hearing the words. Following Brachas Kohanim, the Kohanim keep their hands raised in that position that we just mentioned until they've turned to face the Aron Kodesh, but they're not supposed to turn around to face the Aron Kodesh until the Shliach Tzibor begins the bracha of Sim Shalom. Therefore, he does so immediately after the Brachas Kohanim concludes. Chazal say that someone who experienced a bad dream should recite the Ribbono Shel Olam prayer that you find in the Siddur during Brachas Kohanim. There's 60 words in Brachas Kohanim. I'm sorry, 60 letters in Brachas Kohanim. And Svarim say that that's keneged. The notion of every dream is 1/60th of the truth. So, b'mevat l'peshishim. Okay, a little hard to understand what our sugis over here now in your day in Avodah Zarah had to do with bad dreams. But that's one of the reasons why it's dafka during Brachas Kohanim. Here as well, the reason why the Kohanim have all the chanting, all the nigunim, is to give people the opportunity to recite the bracha without overlapping with the words of Brachas Kohanim. Now, in Chutzlars, we only say this on the Shal Shigalim, on Yom Narayim, right? So if you say the Yiratzon the Ribono Shel Olam, sorry, on the first day of Pesach. So that covers you for any bad dream you had since last Sukkot, in theory. Okay, then you get the Yom Tisheni and the Dukkani again. So in that case, a person should not say the Ribono Shel Olam unless they happen to have had a bad dream the night before, because you already covered yourself. Okay? Finally, number 10. It should be noted, most Siddurim include a longer version of the Tefillah, the Ribono Shel Olam, which starts with the Yiratzon for the third line of the Dukhanin. So you're saying Ribono Shel Olam, Ribono Shel Olam, and then Yiratzon in the third paragraph. However, the Vilna Gaon notes that the original practice, and this is what he advocates, before Hasidish Minhagim maybe had some influence in even how the Siddurim were printed, the original minhag was to say the same Ribono Shel Olam three times rather than switching the paragraph for the third pasuk. So if a person has a minhag to do one way or the other, they should follow accordingly, but it was originally the same tefillah all three times.